Will I benefit from dolphin, elephant, whale, horse, and every creature and every insect and every soil microorganism singing together in a unified frequency to bring about a shift in consciousness on this planet? Will I benefit from that? Hell yes. So we carry on.
Jeannie Patel Thompson, international best-selling author, health product formulator, horse listener, earth singer, mother, medicine woman, elephant acolyte, and regenerative farmer. This is the Jeannie Podcast.
Those of you who remember my podcast called Epiphany, Don't Return Home, will recall my quest to find the elephant sanctuary that I saw in my vision. Well, it's now 2 years later, and I still haven't found even the location, let alone the piece of land. And so once again, here I am on the road. I've been on the road for 3.5 months now. And by the way, it's almost impossible to find somewhere quiet to record a podcast or even to do some of the videos I've wanted to do. So you might hear doors slamming, someone yelling. There's actually nothing I can do about that. Anyway, moving on. So here I am. I've been on the road, coming on to 4 months. I've been in numerous places in the southern coastal California area. And I've been to a number of places in Mexico. I'm now back in Mexico at a resort in Acomal where we've been coming every year for 15 years. So this is a place that I know the food is decent. I can kind of rest and recharge. The upheaval has been insane. And I just want to point out that without the journey to and developing the Singing Horse Ranch, there's no way I would have had the resilience and flexibility to be on this quest now. Absolutely no way. And I would have, my body would have collapsed, my health would have collapsed, my mental state would have been like, screw it, I'm going back home. So this is really a testimony that when we set a goal for ourselves, like almost 4 years ago, in my art journal, I journaled about resilience and flexibility. And man, that's a real careful what you wish for, because how do you increase resilience and flexibility? There's really only one way, and that's stretching you beyond what you think you can manage and what you think you can do and who you think you are. And those stretchings, also known as challenges and overwhelm, are not pretty and they're not enjoyable. They're not fun. They're not nice, but they do get you where you're going if where you want to go is increased resilience and increased flexibility. So, I mean, a lot of us have had a capsule experience of that with COVID. COVID has pushed everyone into overwhelm, into chaos, into, you know, for whatever reasons beyond what they thought they could handle. And here we are coming out the other side. But anyway, back to the vision of having an oceanfront piece of land where rescue elephants can come onto the land that juts into the ocean, and the whales can come and meet them, and the elephants and the whales and the dolphins and every other living creature in the soil, the rock, the ocean, and the land can join together in song, because singing is a vibration, it's a frequency. And in my vision, this was a very important frequency that needed to be generated, not just to help Mother Earth, who's at a critical point, but also if we want to shift things in this universe where, you know, darkness keeps entrapping and enslaving people. And, you know, you can remove entities, energies all day long, and for some people, they just keep coming back. It's like Groundhog Day. And so how do you change the frequency band of that reality? And the best I've got from what I've seen is through these singing frequencies. And the rocks, of course, carry transmittingable crystalline structure, as does water. Water is an incredibly intelligent substance, field of energy, capable of stuff we don't even know. And so that's why the elephants need to be standing on rock, and the rock needs to be jutting out into the water. And then the elephants, this is not just about auditory singing frequency, it's also about the vibrational frequencies that take place outside of the range of human hearing. But the elephants will feel it. Their feet are, this is what I saw in my vision, their feet are like magnifiers. So whatever the whales are doing in the ocean that's then transmitted through the water and through this crystalline structure of the rock is coming up into the elephant's feet and then traveling up and then merging. So there's this real multi-level synergy that takes place. So I'm trying to make that happen. And no, I don't have enough money to buy an oceanfront elephant sanctuary, so I don't know how that piece is going to work, but I didn't have enough money to buy the ranch either. So, you know, this is where we don't worry about the how, we just worry about the what. We get the what clear and we go on the quest. And so I guess I do have the benefit of hindsight. You know, with the Singing Horse Ranch, it took me 6 years to find the herd's land. And it was only after we were on the land that with hindsight, I could look back and understand why it took so long, why there were so many really important things that had to happen first. The term that keeps coming to me is confluence of events. There had to be enough time for those confluences to take place, because when we work at this level, everything is energy. And so that doesn't change just because it's our physical existence of where we live and eat and grow our food and whatnot. There's still an energetic reality to that that is, it's prevalent, it's dominant, because everything is energy first, and then the vibration slows down into perceivable physical matter. And that's straight from the mouth of Einstein, not me. So yeah, so the quest continues. Right now, I alternate between feeling kind of discouraged and wondering whether just the timing is completely wrong, so I just shouldn't even bother trying to look for it at this point. You know, maybe this is like, think about the Singing Horse Ranch, 6 years. So what if I'm in year two or three of something that's going to take 10 years? Like, I might as well, like, there's no point in me beating my head against the wall. So opening up to giving myself permission to see further and clearer with my spiritual sight, my third eye, and also giving myself permission to lead more with the feminine, because the feminine is the perceiver, the nurturer, the receiver, the intuitor, the healer. So rather than leading with the masculine, which is taking action, going out and looking for it and looking for the signs along the way. And that's always the dance, right? What's the balance between the listening and the action? And sometimes the two have to be run on a track side by side. So you listen and you action, then you get the next piece and then you action. So at the same time, I could say, well, if this is 10 years away, what am I doing out here? You know, going through this much discomfort and upheaval, and, you know, I'm hardly getting any work done because I don't have an office. I don't have quiet. I don't have, like, the list goes on and on. I've gained easily 10 pounds because I'm eating a standard American diet of canola oil and dairy's hidden in everything. And I just give up and I end up eating wheat and, you know, all those things that I don't normally consume. So I've got the nice little fat wheat belly going on, and I feel like crap every single day. Because the other thing is, I'm bathed in Wi-Fi. Like at my homes where I live, I have hardwired Ethernet cable. I do not have Wi-Fi radiation in my home. And I can't believe the difference in how I feel now that, you know, months and months I've been surrounded by Wi-Fi. And even if I'm in an Airbnb where I can unplug it during the night while I sleep, we still have to turn it on during the day because my husband needs to work. He needs to contact everybody. I need to work. You know, we can't just completely unplug and go off grid for this length of time. So just a heads up to all of you who have maybe been wondering how important that is. I'm telling you, you have no idea how crappy you feel when you live with Wi-Fi. You just don't. And you won't know until you get rid of it. And you get somewhere where your neighbor's Wi-Fi isn't coming into your place, and you've gotten rid of your own Wi-Fi, and you've hardwired everything. It's just, the difference is unbelievable, which of course then extends to sleep. Like, I'm someone who I normally, in my normal environment, where again, I have no Wi-Fi radiation, and I'm eating healthy, and I'm in fresh air, I sleep 6, maybe 7 hours. I wake up without an alarm. And I have full energy the whole day. I don't even drink coffee. I don't need it. I wake up, boom, I'm ready to go. I'm full of energy. I don't get a 4 o'clock slump. I don't get anything. And now, living the way the most of humanity lives, I'm feeling all those things. I'm feeling sluggish, and it's like wading through quicksand, and my head feels fuzzy and foggy, and my memory is nowhere near what it, nor like that I could give you. It's like a laundry list of symptoms and a physical reality that I now inhabit that I have not inhabited for decades, because I won't live like the normal human, because the normal human is actually living in an extremely unhealthy environment. So that's my little rant on that. But anyway, getting back to the quest. So if I say, well, it's 10 years away, so I might as well not even bother. But that's not how this works. Because the trying and the actioning and the exploring is part of that process that makes all the things line up so that the vision can manifest. So there's no shortcuts. You can't go, okay, well, whatever. I'm just going to sit here and meditate till, you know, I receive the word. But sure, maybe for something you could do that. But this is not that type of a quest. This is a quest that involves multiple people, multiple animals, multiple factors. I could just sit there and rest and whatever, but that's not the way the divine has shown me that works best. So the way that works best is if I get a vision or I get guidance, I then have to action, whether it leads me to what I want or not. So right now, the actioning is resulting in, no, not here. No, not there. No, that's not going to work because of this. No, this is not going to work because of that. And so on and so forth. And so we just keep walking this path. And I have to stay out of negativity. I have to stay out of overwhelm, because of course then the energy can't flow and the guidance can't flow. So it's really a path of, once again, mastery at the spiritual and energetic levels to manifest what I see is possible and what I feel is part of my purpose here on this planet. So that's my why. Why do you need to do this? Because I can. Am I going to say, it's like, why did I need to walk the journey of healing myself of an incurable disease? Because I could. And I've had, you know, dozens of emails from readers saying, I feel really bad saying this, but I'm actually really glad that you got this disease, because I don't know anybody else who could have figured this out. So it's not like you can sit back and say, well, someone else will do it. Well, what if they don't? What if it means decades more suffering for everybody because you could have, but you didn't? So that doesn't wash for me. It's like, well, if I can and it feels in alignment with my past and I'll benefit, then I'm going to do it. Will I benefit from dolphin, elephant, whale, horse, and every creature and every insect and every soil microorganism singing together in a unified frequency to bring about a shift in consciousness on this planet? Will I benefit from that? Hell yes. So we carry on. And I don't know how long it'll take. I don't know how much traveling. And just so you guys know, I hate traveling. I traveled a lot in my 20s, and I lived on different continents and worked in different cultures. Like, I did all that. I'm done. There's no romance of travel and new experiences. And it's like been there, done that times five by this point. So this is not some fun, romantic thing. This is just like hard goddamn work every single day, day after day. It's just, and then of course, I'm grabbing those moments of beauty. I'm grabbing those moments of peace and rest. And I'm grabbing those moments when, okay, I can still be who I am while I'm on this really uncomfortable quest. So like I hung out with elephant seals and filmed them and turned that into a video for you guys. And I was really upset when I saw how they're farming the vineyards in California. I'm like, what's the difference between this and factory farming? This is terrible what they're doing to the plants and the land. Like how is no one aware of this? And so I went looking and I found a regenerative vineyard in California. And then, of course, is, you know, another little sign that, yeah, you're on the path. The Airbnb that I was staying at, the guy there just had 10 acres, but he was 3 years into turning it into a regenerative vineyard. So, like, out of the whole of California, you know, the place I'm staying at is a guy who's, like, on this journey. And then the other one that I found is a vineyard. They were the first to receive regenerative certification, and they were really leading this movement in California among the wineries. So then what did I do? I filmed them both, and I'm editing those together into a video, not just for people like us to watch, but I'm hoping it will get shared among vineyard owners, because right now there's not a lot of how-to available for them. If you go looking and you're, let's say you're a winery owner and you want to start thinking about regenerative farming practices and owl boxes, and there's not a lot of instruction. There's here, people are doing it, but in terms of how do you do it, there's not a lot out there. So that's something that's really meaningful to me, really interesting, really stimulating. So I'm getting definitely pieces like that along the way. So I don't want to make it seem like it's just like every day is horrible and blah, blah, blah. Of course not. And then, of course, I'm in beautiful locations. Like right now, I'm looking at a white sand beach and palm trees, and the ocean is crashing, which I've had to close the door so it doesn't come on the audio, but I can go down there and I can meditate there. And I did yoga this morning. So yes, I am grabbing my moments. And again, I guess that's a development and a growth piece for me to go be here now. This is what be here now means. It means that when you're doing something that you wouldn't choose to do, that you don't really like doing, but in a day, where are the moments, multiple moments, where you can grab it and say, this is good. I'm at peace. I'm grateful. I'm content. And I had this conversation with my daughter, and because she's struggling right now. And I said, but I don't look for happiness. Happiness is like this fleeting thing that just kind of, it's like a burst of joy and then it's gone. Like to actually try to have happiness as a constant state, like you're just setting yourself up for failure and disappointment and depression. She's like, well, what do you look for then? And I said, I look for contentment. I just look for peace and grounding. I'm content. I'm like, yeah, groovy, cool. I'm happy in the moment. And then I'm not, but I'm content throughout, because I'm being who I am and I'm doing what I'm meant to be doing, and I'm grabbing at those moments of happiness and joy as they come, and or witnessing them or being open to them, you know. So anyway, I hope that gives you guys an update as to what's going on and where I'm at. And I don't have anything amazing to report. I don't have any, oh my gosh, this happened and then this happened and the magic and the synergy of the universe is rocking and rolling. I don't have any of that. I just have putting one foot in front of the other and trying to stay open, trying to listen deeply, and grabbing those moments of joy and happiness as they occur. I hope all of you are mining your life experiences for those pieces of joy, and I wish you contentment and peace and grounding.